Today, we're going to start a new series. So this won't just be today. We're going to do this for the next few weeks. The title of the series is Afraid. Afraid. Have any of you guys used the fancy AI tools yet? Your preacher's starting to, he's scared to death of them, and then he uses some of them as well. The graphic up there on the screen, it may be like, why would you be afraid? But there's a light there. And what I want you to be mindful of today is the thing we're celebrating today is the reason we don't have to be afraid, okay? So we're going to be looking over the next few weeks about different fears and how Jesus helps us confront those fears and overcome those fears with the truth of the gospel. Let's look together, Mark chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 22 and through 24, and then we're going to make our way through one main story today that I hope will be encouragement to you and that you'll listen to the Lord about the things he would share. Mark chapter 5, beginning verse 22, the scripture says, "And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet. And he besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him." Today is such an awesome day to celebrate. And again, there's so many things we've already shared that we want you to participate with us today. And we're going to talk about this topic of afraid over the next few weeks. But here's where I want to get to a little bit today. I work in Noblesville Schools, and so I'm the tech guy there. I do a lot of iPads, thousands of iPads there. But what I'm hearing more and more, I think what you guys are hearing more and more, is people dealing with issues of what we call mental health. I think we are more and more concerned about that and thoughtful about that. And I think all of those things are an opportunity for us to try to share the truth of Jesus into the situation to help people who are facing those things. Does the Bible have anything to say about how to handle fear or anxiety or doubt? I'm going to tell you, it does. It absolutely does. Does the resurrection mean anything about how we attempt to deal with these concerns? And this morning, I had the two young guys, David and Jacob, in my class, and that was the whole point of when we told the story, was what does this mean for my life, that Jesus is alive? In Matthew, if you were to look in there, you would see that on the very day we're celebrating today, the women who had left Jesus in the tomb, they're coming back to the tomb. I think those of you in Sunday school went over the story, and I can't imagine what all was running through their minds. What do you think? There's a lot of things going on in that situation, right? Definitely fear is one of them. The ladies, they have seen the person that they have given their heart to, that they feel like he is the Son of God. They are trusting him. He's spoken words of truth. But now the thing that they thought was going to happen, and most of them thought was going to happen, was Jesus was going to set up his kingdom. He was going to free them from Roman oppression, and maybe even some of the disciples would get high places in the kingdom. And yet what happens to our Lord, right? He was broken. He was crushed for our sins, and he dies on a tree. Those ladies are probably like, I don't know what we do now. I don't know what's next. In Matthew chapter 28, if you follow along, you're going to find the ladies are coming up to see the Lord going through a roller coaster of emotions. Matthew 28, verse 1, real quickly here. After the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb, and there was a violent earthquake. For an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and they became like dead men. And the angel said to the women, what? Do not be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. Again, put yourself in the setting. We're going to go take our spices. We're going to the tomb. We get there, and the very first thing that happens is a violent earthquake. Have any of you ever been in an earthquake? It is one of the strangest things to me because it feels like you're on a wave. As the land is on a wave, right? So I'm sure that already was startling, but that wasn't just it. The next thing, there is this incredible shining of lightning and light, and then there's an angel sitting on this stone. And of course, what do angels say usually when they meet us? Don't be afraid. Because these ladies, I'm sure, were scared to death. They're like, oh no, what is going on? What is happening? No wonder the angel had to say, don't be afraid. But we know the rest of the story. In just a few moments, their fear would turn to great faith as they begin to realize everything Jesus has been telling them for the last few years has now come to pass. So here, very simply this morning, I want to start with this. I want to tell you that this same Jesus is alive and well today. And he is still turning fear into faith. But the message is this morning, do you trust him? Do you trust him? I'm still working on that myself. I want to encourage you today to believe. I want to encourage you to recognize that God has so much good for you if you will trust him rather than trusting everything else the world says this is what you should trust. So real quick back this morning, back to this fear thing. There is such a thing as a healthy fear, right? I have a healthy fear of treble hooks. You guys don't know, the preacher here, he likes to go fishing. Smallmouth fishing is my thing. Like sitting in a kayak. I was throwing a crankbait the other day. If you know what a crankbait is, it's just a little kind of round lure, bounced across the bottom. And underneath it, there are two hooks, but there are actually six hooks. And these hooks are, if they're good hooks, can be fairly sharp. And one day I was out kayak fishing, reeling in, I pulled up in my fish. And when I went to reach out on the side of my kayak, I was actually floating down the river. So I'm going downstream. I reach to the side. And as I lift up my thumb, I stick a treble hook in my thumb. Fish on, treble hook in my thumb, floating down the river. This is a problem, right? This could be something to be concerned about. So because of those things, I made it out. Obviously, I still have two thumbs, doing good so there. Because I made it out, I have a healthy fear of treble hooks. Now, you know what the preacher does when he catches a fish with treble hooks? He pulls out his pliers, right? Healthy fear can be a good thing. Healthy fear for kids, you know, staying out of the road or jumping off cliffs or touching the hot stove. But most of the time, the fear that we're going to talk about today gets in the way of really having the life that God has for us. What fear is getting in your way today? You don't have to raise your hand, but are any of you afraid of dying? Brooklyn and I, Brooklyn made a really good point the other day, and I thought it was really interesting that a lot of times, maybe we don't fear death as much when we're younger, but when we have children, sometimes that's when that fear starts to creep in, doesn't it, right? Because then we have like, well, I've got to live because I got to take care of them. And that can be sometimes an overwhelming fear for some people. How many of you are like the preacher and you have a fear of failure? I've told you this before. The preacher did not try out for the freshman football team because he's afraid he wouldn't make the team. And later we found out they didn't cut anybody. I could have been on the team. I was so scared of failing that I missed out on a wonderful opportunity. Hear the Lord today. Some of you, the Lord is calling you to do something amazing, but you're so scared of failing that you may be missing out. I was talking to Wendy's dad, that fear, and this is really powerful for him, I think. If you know, you're going to get to know a little more about Wendy's dad. Wendy's mom and dad are going to be moving over here with us. Wendy's father, he has Parkinson's disease. And slowly, he is losing control. That is hard, isn't it? That is hard. For some of us, that's our fear, right? That we might be losing control. And it's a legitimate fear. But what I want to challenge you today, even in that fear, the Lord can increase our faith and encourage us. For some, it's change. For some, it's something affecting our reputation. And so here's what I want you to just sit just for a moment this morning, and just a quiet moment. If you're honest with yourself, what are you most afraid of? What are you most afraid of? I want to look at an example today of faith versus fear, and I hope it will help you to take the step of faith when fear seems to be ruling our circumstances. Let's go back to Mark chapter 5, verse 21. We're going to look at this man named Jairus and see his trouble. Mark 5, verse 21, the scripture says, when Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. And then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came. When he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet and he pleaded earnestly with him. My little daughter is dying. Please come, put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live. Verse 24 says, so Jesus went with him. We don't have a whole lot of details about Jairus, but we know he was a synagogue ruler. So maybe like a political ruler, a leader, someone that, you know, people would have been looking up to, someone who probably had a lot of influence. My guess, probably someone who was used to controlling many situations, right? Used to being in charge, used to being in control. But here Jairus has lost his control and he's in dire straits. His daughter is dying and there's nothing he can do about it. Can you feel that way before? Have you ever felt that way before? Right? I know some of you in our congregation here, even over this similar scenario where you've had little children that you didn't know what to do and all you could do is pray. That's a scary moment, isn't it? Right? That's where Jairus is. I have a lot of influence. I know a lot of people, but my daughter is dying and I don't know what to do. When have you found yourself in a situation where you don't have control? Obviously, it can cause great anxiety or questioning. And then what can happen is fear can start to take over, can it? Have you been there? Yeah. You get in a spot and your fear almost just cripples you that you won't take action. Now, what I'm proud about for Jairus is that he decides to reach out to someone who can take control of the situation. He seeks out Jesus. And when he finds him, what does he do? He's the influential leader. He's the one who's prominent. He's the one who's important. He finds Jesus, and what does he do? He falls down because he knows that he can't control the situation, but he's hoping that Jesus can. He falls at the feet of Jesus, and this is what the scripture would say is to humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. So Jairus takes the step, hoping, praying, maybe, just maybe, Jesus can do something about it. And this is what I'm reminded of whenever I think of this. Jesus, sometimes we think he's the place to turn to when we've tried everything else. But as a matter of fact, why try everything else? Why not start with the Lord, right? Maybe you've heard it this way. Jesus is not our last hope. He's our only hope, right? That's the truth of this passage. Please hear me this morning. Do not trust in your own ability when you come to the point and realize you can do nothing. Then you trust Christ. J.G. Machen says this, that the more we know of God, the more unreservedly we will trust him. And the greater our understanding or our progress in theology, the simpler and more childlike will be our faith. So true. My best professors I ever sat under had a contagious faith. They had a great understanding, but their faith was just like that of a child. Jairus acts out on faith. He seeks out the Lord. He does more than just say, I believe. He goes and takes action. Sometimes the action is praying. Sometimes the action is moving. But most of the time, I'm going to tell you, it is praying while you're moving. Right? Again, so proud of you folks this week. You were doing both things. We were moving. We were trying to hand out flyers. We were mowing the grass. We were stuffing eggs. We were cleaning the sanctuary. I say we, mostly it was you. It was awesome. And then we were praying all the time we were doing it, right? And the Lord honored that effort and those prayers. Now, I want to challenge you with this. This kind of hit me, and it's really tough, but think about this for a second. Jairus has done the right things. He's admitted he can't control the situation. He's reached out to the one who could help him. He's done it with humility by bowing at the Lord's feet. But now, in this moment, look at verse 35 and see what news he receives. While Jairus was still speaking, some men came from his house, from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. Your daughter is dead, they said. Why bother the teacher anymore? Why bother the teacher anymore? If you guys know this passage, there's actually a whole other scenario of things that are going on. There's this woman who's had an issue of blood for years. And she's tried everything. She's ran out of money. The doctors couldn't help her. She said, if I could just touch Jesus' garment, I know I'd be healed. This massive crowd is thronging around Jesus as he's making his way to Jairus' house. And Jesus says, power has gone out of me. And this woman in that moment is healed. A little bit after that, and Jesus talks to this woman, the news comes that Jairus' daughter is dead. And the men say, don't bother the teacher anymore. He can't do anything about it. You ever been there? It's like the game is over. The game is done. And you don't know what to do. Now, most of us, I'm sure most of me, would be like, sorry, Jesus, sorry to bother you, sorry to trouble you. Again, the expression that they bring is just says it all. The daughter is dead. The terrible feeling that must have come over Jairus when he heard these words. The men suggest to Jairus, it is too late, and the world has given up all hope on Jairus' daughter. And I want to challenge you this morning, even when you're doing the right thing, sometimes the trouble keeps coming. And you can see that in Jairus. But what I love is this moment right here, because Jesus recognizes the crisis moment, and he says the most incredible thing to the synagogue ruler. Look in verse 36. Ignoring what they said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler, Jesus ignores the cry of the world. She's dead. She's gone. It's over. There's no hope. Today, some of you fear has just got a grip on you and it's strangleholding you. And I'm telling you, Jesus is saying the same thing to you today. Don't be afraid. Trust me. Just believe. Now, Jairus, this is where I'm so proud of him. Because he ignores the world and he ignores the men and he ignores the crowds, but he heeds the Lord. That's the challenge for us today. The world is crying out you in every way possible to tell you it's over, it won't work, you're done, it's all a mess, nothing can help you. And Jesus says, hey, don't be afraid, just believe. The world will tell you, yeah, Jesus was a good man, but is he really alive? Does he really have power over death? Is he really God's son? The world says, leave Jesus alone, just like the men said. But Jesus says through example, ignore the world. Jesus, through his resurrection, reminds us that we can trust him. He is the one who can deliver, and he is the one that we should listen to. Think again, Jairus could have let the fear completely grip him at the moment. And he could have been thinking thoughts like this. Who is this teacher? Is he really playing with my emotions like this? You would think that really is kind of rude and wicked, isn't it, right? Who is this man? My daughter said that they said she's dead and now he's going to tell me to keep believing? What if I believe and what if it doesn't happen? What kind of credibility and influence will I have if I believe he can heal my dead daughter and then we go back and nothing happens? I would tell you again and again and again that desperation and faith are so closely linked. Sometimes it's hard to tell the difference. He has no other option, and he clings to the Lord. We need to be desperate for the Lord. This morning here, listen with me from your perspective for a second. What if I repent of my sins and put my faith in Jesus? Will people make fun of me? Will I really find forgiveness and peace? What kind of change will that bring into my life? And everybody that's here from our church is to tell you to take the step of faith. You will never regret it. And again, the words ring so clear. Jesus says, don't be afraid. Just believe. Now, can you bear with me for just a second? What if Jairus here gives up? Have you thought about that? What if he listens to the guys? What if he listens to the crowd? What if he says, I'm sorry, Jesus, I won't trouble you any longer. I know that not even you can raise the dead. What if he says, I just can't believe this. I want to tell you today, the rest of Jairus's life will be miserable. My next door neighbor, they lost their son at 18. He died in a drunk driving accident. And their hearts were broken. I can still see their whole life changed after that moment. And it would. But think of that in Jairus' context, because that's exactly how he would walk out the rest of his days. Can I tell you today, the Lord loves you. He is calling you through the gift of his son, and so don't miss out. Jairus would have lost out on one of the most precious gifts if he had not listened to Jesus and if he had given up. If the Lord is calling you today and you've decided not to follow, you're going to be missing the most precious gift you could ever have. But the great news here is that Jairus did ignore the crowd, and he did listen to Jesus. I do believe you, Jesus. I trust you. I believe you have the best interests, and I will follow you. I will obey. And here's the thing. Jesus had not given up. And Jesus has not given up on you. And he's got other plans. And he's going to bring those plans to fruition. Look down at verse 37. We'll see Jairus' faith. Verse 37. He did not let anyone follow him, that is Jesus, except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue ruler, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. And he went in and he said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." Verse 40, look at this. But they laughed at him. And after he pulled them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him, and he went in where the child was. Jesus takes the skeleton crew with him, right? He's taking the fishermen. They're probably scared of treble hooks too. Can you imagine the fear that intensifies as they're making their way to the house? Think of all the pressure. All the crowd. Jairus is the leader. They're all going. And as they get closer to the house, what do they hear? The funeral dirge. They hear the songs. They hear the wailing. She's dead. She's gone. And again, the pressure just mounts. Oh boy, I'm trying to trust. I hope he can deliver. I hope he can. This is going to make me look so terrible if he doesn't. That's one way some people might view it. They get closer and closer. And they get to the point and they said, "Well, she's dead." And Jesus says, "No, she's not dead. She's asleep." Think about this for a second. Jesus says, "It's not over." Jesus says it's not over. The crowd laughs. They didn't realize that when they were laughing at the one who makes the heart beat. Think about that for a second. They had no clue, did they? They were laughing at the one who made the veins, who made the blood, who made the very breath inside of us. "Oh, Jesus, you're no doctor. She's dead." "No, no, no," he says. "It's not over. She's just asleep." Oh, man. So verse 41. He took her by the hand and he said to her, "Talitha cum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Verse 42. Immediately the girl stood up and walked around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. And he gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. When the Creator says, "Get up," you get up. When the Creator says, "It's possible," it is possible, even if the whole world says it's impossible. That's the Jesus we love and serve and that we've trusted, and we know that he delivers. Hear me out today. I am not promising you a brand new Corvette or a winning lottery ticket or that all your diseases are gone, but I promise you this. If you will trust in Jesus, he will deliver now and for eternity, and you will not regret it. That's who he is. That's what he does. Oh, the blessing and the joy that Jairus and his whole family and even his community would have missed if he had given up. I bet they had the best pitching ever that day. Right? "Can you believe this? She's alive! I trusted him. He came through. He is the Lord." Ah! The whole town was affected. When you start trusting in Jesus with all your heart, it's contagious. And it doesn't just affect you. It affects everyone around you. And the Lord delivered. But again, Jairus had to face his fear and trust him. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Just believe. Again, these same words ring so true today. Don't be afraid. Put your trust in the one who can really help. Humble yourself. And in your trouble, take him at his word. Where is your faith today? What do you believe in? And hear me out. It can be a little different every day, right? Some mornings you get up and you're like, "Where are you, Lord?" Seriously, right? We've been there. Where is your faith? What do you believe? Do you believe that Jesus was a real person? Do you believe he really raised this girl from the dead? I do. Do you believe that he died on the cross for the sins of the whole world? This was shared multiple times this morning. I do. Do you believe that he is God? Do you believe that he rose again? I do, but here's the real question. Are you acting on your beliefs? Let me close with one illustration today that so carries this idea about taking that step of faith. This is from Gary Haugen. Gary Haugen is the founder of International Justice Mission, a Christian organization that frees people trapped in sex trafficking, and he describes God's calling to start this International Justice Mission. He says, "I vividly remember when I finally had to make a decision to abandon my career at the U.S. Department of Justice to become the first employee of a not-for-profit organization that didn't yet actually exist called International Justice Mission. I had worked for 3 years with friends on the idea and was very excited. In theory, this dream of following Jesus in the work of justice in the world would be a great success, but then I had to actually act. I had to walk into the Department of Justice and turn in my badge. I tried to be very brave and very safe. That is to say, I walked in and I asked my bosses for a year-long leave of absence. My bosses politely declined. Uh-oh. I was suddenly feeling very nervous. But what was I really afraid of? As I thought about it, I feared humiliation. If my little justice ministry didn't work, no one was going to die. If it turned out to be a bad idea and collapsed, my kids weren't going to starve. We'd probably just have to live with my parents for a while until I could find another job. But with my education, odds are I would soon find a job. The fact is, I would be terribly embarrassed. Having told everybody about my great idea, they would know that it was a bad idea or that I was a bad leader. Either way, it would be humiliating. Look at this. So there was my boundary of fear. I sensed God inviting me to an extraordinary adventure of service, but deep inside, I was afraid of looking like a fool and a loser. This was actually very helpful to see because it helped me to get past it. When I am older, do I really want to look back and say, yes, I sense that God was calling me to lead a movement to bring rescue to people who desperately need an advocate in the world, but I was afraid of getting embarrassed, so I never even tried? Well, fear is normal, even among the earnest and devout, and it can be overcome. But first, we must see the opportunity it provides, a revelation that only comes as we step to the precipice of action. What is God calling you today? Let me ask you this first. Are you afraid of becoming a Christian? It can be a scary thing, can it, right? If today's world, if you're labeled a Christian in certain environments, you might really be looked down upon, wouldn't you, right? You're one of those evangelical Christians. I don't want anything to do with those people. They're crazy, right? You're one of those people that believe Jesus really rose out of that tomb. Well, you don't get any credibility in my workplace or in my neighborhood or in my community. I think those people they're far gone. There's a fear there, isn't it, right? I mean, those of us that love the Lord, it's like, well, we already know about it. But those on the outside, it's kind of like, I don't know if I can cross that divide. For those of you that are believers this morning, are you afraid where God is leading you to go? Will you go where God tells you to go? Hello? Brother Paul and I, we've been on a 16-hour plane ride to India because the Lord wanted us to go there. And especially for Brother Paul, it was not easy for me, but it was really not easy for him. But we said, Lord, what you call us to do, we'll do. Wendy and I left a home in Illinois. I'm a big Illini fan. Hate to admit that after last night. But we left Illinois because in my heart, I thought God was telling me that I needed to come and follow him. And I cannot look back on my life and say, well, I know God called me to do that, but really it was safer and easier and nicer, so I was going to stay. For some of you today, God is calling you to a different place, a place of service, a place of ministry, a place to share, and you need to heed what the Lord is calling. Are you afraid of failing? That's what Gary was upset about, wasn't he? Oh, it'd be embarrassing if I step out and then I blow it. So what? If the Lord is with you, he will carry you. He says, ignore the world. And trust me, or the way that we've been saying over and over again today is don't be afraid, only believe. Let's stand this morning.